What is up, fellow benchwarmers? Welcome to your daily fantasy. Hey guys, welcome to another quickie. It's a Thursday night here in Manila. I'm your host JJT and with our commish. Commish!
Yes.
String of guys. Great performances today. Mm-hmm. Some not so good ones, but yeah, let's get on with the quick injury update first. Steph Curry is, I think, game time decision tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. Is it? Yeah, game time decision, but more of the on the questionable side. Is it a hip injury?
Yeah, it's a hip injury. I don't know if we don't know much about the injury. Sometimes players just pop up in injury reports, and it's just it's really nothing, but just for, you know, reporting sake. So we don't know. We don't know much about it. But I hope he plays because he's been playing very well.
Well, at least the indications is that it's really not too serious. Mm-hmm. Even if he misses time, this won't be a long-term thing. Hopefully, that's what we hope. Of course, there's no official timetable. He's just game-time decision, so that's a positive already. If he plays, then I think we can put this one behind us already. OG Anunoby, another game-time decision player. What's with OG? I wasn't able to read up on
it. In practice, he hurt his hip. I think he got banged in his hip, so he's gonna be questionable with a hip contusion or something. This one is, I think, more possible. I think this, compared to Steph, this one actually, there was an injury that happened after the game, after their last game. Because I didn't hear anything about any injury during practice for Steph, unlike OG, where there was really an incident.
Steph got it during the game.
Yes, but he played through it. So yeah. I really think he will play. OG, I have a feeling he won't. I think OG might not play tomorrow.
And Nick Batum. What's Nick Batum's injury?
It's the last time we talked about it, remember? That he only played 14 minutes. Yeah. And there, yeah, we talked about the Achilles soreness. And it looks like that's the case. The Achilles is bothering him, so he's doubtful. So I would presume that's 90% that he won't play tomorrow. There's still no Ibaka. There's no Terrence Mann for
Nick Batum still a hold for you?
Yes, he's a hold for me. It's the first game he's going to miss, although the last game it was not good either. But let's see, if he misses another game, then, you know, I might drop him already. But at this point, maybe they just want to rest it, give it a little more time if he comes back the next game. So I think he'll be fine.
If Nick Batum misses time, and I think Terrence Mann is also game time decision.
I think Terrence Mann won't play.
The rookie, Brandon Boston.
Yeah, Brandon Boston Jr. might
Could
be the
be
guy.
A good stream for tomorrow.
Yeah, he won't start. Probably they'll start. I'm not sure if he will start. They have Justice Winslow, I think, there. Amir Coffey and those guys. But yeah. I guess Boston is the guy that, you know, if he's given minutes, who knows? The last time he played well.
Yeah. As far as OG goes, I think this is more of Scotty Barnes, more of a usage thing. I would assume there's really not much beneficiary from the waiver wire. More of Scotty Barnes' usage might be higher. Pascal Siakam's usage would be higher. Van Fleet as well. So this is more of the usage rate would be shared among the starters.
Maybe they start V Mikhailuk, but that's really a very deep stream already. If you guys need some three-pointers, Delano Banton might get some minutes because Boucher, I think, is still out.
Yeah.
They don't have Achiuwa either. Now, if they don't have OG also, so they'll be really short-handed for this game. Scotty Barnes, really, would probably play a lot.
Hopefully.
Game.
And for Steph, of course, the usual. Jordan Poole, maybe some Damian Lee. I mean, they'll Gary probably Payton. share it. Yeah, Gary Payton Jr.
Gary Payton.
They'll yeah. probably share the usage, but I think the major beneficiary there would be Jordan Poole.
Yes, for sure.
All right, let's
yes.
talk about some players trending down. Let's talk about, let's start off with some Wizards, Washington Wizards players. They played hot. These players were started off really well. Montrezl Harrell, Kyle Kuzma, and Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah, the Wizards are still playing well, right?
But yeah.
Harrell was 30-plus minutes when Gafford was out. When Gafford came back, he was still at 30-29 at the start. But now it's been 24, today 22, mm-hmm. the other day 25, something like that the past three games. So that's... He's still okay, but he will not be the top 40, top 30, top 50 Harrell who got 35, 34 minutes and he was, you know, going berserk. So I think
the best
told high.
For me, I think really the best case scenario for Harrell is he stays there at the top 100. That's already a good return. If he
yes.
goes 80, that's
yes.
a good return for you. If you were able to sell him high, then good for you. But if not, well, at least the expectations would be hopefully still within the top 100.
There's still room though. There's still time. He still played well today. 15 points, 9 rebounds. I think one or two blocks. I'm not too sure about the blocks part.
Yeah.
There's still time because some managers won't look at the minutes. They will look at, hey, he's still
His
doing
stats.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you still remember, there's Thomas Bryant coming back, so we still don't know what that will be like. That's why, you know, sell high is still there, but maybe not too high. Maybe
yeah.
not too high anymore.
Well, in the first place, I don't think it's easy to sell really that high. I think maybe a top 50 would be the highest you'll probably get.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
Gafford, though, played well today.
Yes.
Fluke or real?
For me, it's not a fluke. But I don't think he will score 20 points every game either. But he's going to be better. We know that he's going to be better than his previous performances. So maybe something like 12 points and then maybe 7, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks. Something like that. Not this kind of an explosion.
Yeah.
They were against Charlotte, right?
Yeah.
And Charlotte is not really a good team against... I mean, they don't defend well against centers.
They don't have a big, actually, that, you know...
They have given up a lot of big games to centers of other teams. So this is, you know, you take that matchup thing also. But again, Gafford is not droppable. And Gafford, in limited minutes, is one of the best per minute guys.
Mm-hmm.
So the stats I told you, 12, maybe 6, 7 rebounds, maybe more, maybe 8, and then 1.5 to 2 blocks, something like that. That's what I'm expecting from Gafford.
And all we really hope with Gafford is that he does it on a more consistent basis, right? Because over the past few games, except for today, he hasn't been as consistent as we want him to. I think that's the challenge with Gafford. I mean, he hasn't really scored in double figures for how many games already? So 12 seems like far off for him on a consistent basis. I think he can score 12, but
mm-hmm.
to score 12 consistently, I think he still needs to show us that he can do that. I think the blocks is the only positive thing there for Gafford at this point. So far, that's the most consistent thing. So at times, he becomes like a specialist more than, you know, a high value player just because of the blocks, right? So
I do think he's not going to be the top 50 guy I thought he could be this season. That's not going to happen.
You think he still finishes higher than Harrell?
He will finish higher than Harrell.
But do you think it's going to be close?
It's close. It's going to be close. It could go either way. And again, when we keep on saying about Thomas Bryant, because when Thomas Bryant comes back, what happens would determine who among them would finish higher. Because if it's Harrell who's going to move out of the rotation or get 10 to 15 minutes, then Gafford will finish higher. We don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think that Scotty Brooks, is Scotty Brooks the coach? Or who's the coach? I don't know who's their coach.
Yeah,
but
I'm not
anyway,
sure anymore.
I don't know if their coach knows either. Maybe he's just waiting for the time that you know.
Yeah, and we still Bryant don't know back. How Thomas Bryant will be when he comes back. I mean, he came from he's from an ACL injury, so that's another, you know, major injury. And for a center, that's another difficult thing to overcome, right? I mean, a knee injury.
Yes.
For a center. Yes. So I just feel Thomas Bryant won't be as big of a threat as we think, although of course that's just me. But in some leagues wherein I have Gafford, I have Thomas Bryant as well. Just in case. I mean, if you want to stash an injured player, he's the injured guy I got from the draft early on. So, yeah, we'll see. But Harold, a little trend down. I think slowly trending down. But again, let's just hope he stays there at the top 100. For in case you are a manager like me who's not really big into trading as much, but just wanting to ride on this good draft pick that we got outside of 100. Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, two straight bad games. No double figure scoring, no double figure rebounding. But he had at least, I think, 8 today. So that's not bad. But he's not shooting well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he has been good this year. But he's, what is rank? 120 something this year. Even with how hot he has been. So the name value is there. But his game, he doesn't have steals, blocks. Doesn't shoot that well, so he doesn't translate to fantasy as well. He's kind of like a Darius Bazley in a way. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have big games. They will have big games. They will have big games, but not really a top 100 guy. Not really a top 115 guy. Even I think in the future, I think Washington as a team is going to trend down. As a team, I have a feeling.
We'll see. At this point, I think Bradley Beal hasn't really played as well as the what managers hope for. So that could also impact. If he plays well, I think the rest of the guys would have a chance that they won't be playing as well as they did early in the season. Mm. Spencer Dinwiddie is another player who we always felt like he can give you the scoring, but really not much else.
Yes, today he had a bad game. I don't know, 0 points, I think. He didn't score. He had a really, really bad game. And tomorrow, he's not going to play. He's not going to play in a back-to-back. So they're still managing him. So that's double whammy for Dinwiddie owners. He's top 80 this year, though. He's top 80. So for me, aside from Conley, Dinwiddie is another guy that I want to dispose of. Because of the rest, number one. Number two, because I don't think he's going to be... He's scoring 15 points this year. He's shooting 95% from the free throw range and 2 3-pointers-pointers and 1.8 turnovers. That has been the one that's fueling him. I do not think the free throws stick. I do not think the points will... Well, the points will be okay. But he doesn't have steals. You know, the threes are here and there.
For a point guard, the assists are not as high.
Not as high. Bradley Beal has not been playing well. So I think Beal will play better eventually. So those things, that's why I think Dinwiddie is a sell guy.
Carmelo Anthony, another player who was hot for a stretch. And well, the Lakers have been losing. So that's
Did you buy something. Carmelo Anthony? Did you think he will continue what he was doing?
No, not really in that sense that he was so hot at that point. I think he will have stretches like these, like, you know, times wherein he's going to struggle a bit, right? That's how I see Carmelo. I mean, he won't be as consistent as I think, as, you know, maybe many managers would think or hope for. Me, I'm not too high on Carmelo. Just because I feel like, you know, the Lakers would probably be AD, LeBron, and Westbrook. And Carmelo would just be another Cal Kuzma there.
You hit it right. Hit it in the nail there with the Cal Kuzma comparison. He might be the Cal Kuzma there. And that's something to talk about also, Carmelo, in the sense that LeBron is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I would not assume that it's Taylor Horton Tucker who will go to the bench. He might start with LeBron and then Carmelo goes to the bench. So
yeah, that's another thing. Talen Horton-Tucker is playing very, very well.
Out of his mind.
I'm just not sure if this is something that teams haven't really adjusted for, because we've always said that, you know, he has just played what, 2 games? So maybe teams are not yet sure how to handle a player like Talen Horton-Tucker, because he wasn't as good last year. So I mean, they don't plan for Talen Horton-Tucker.
His usage is so high. He's shooting more attempts than Westbrook and Anthony Davis. So that's something. His confidence is there. He got his contract. He heard us. He heard me.
We recommended him. Yeah. And when, you know, we kind of, you know, somehow told people to add him up just in case. I mean, we didn't even expect him to be this good. To be honest,
I didn't expect him to be this good. But I knew he was coming back. It was probable. We that was a Sunday, and we told you that add him. You might regret it if he explodes all of a sudden, which is what he's doing right now. Right now, he's 60% owned already. I don't think you'll be able to add him anymore.
And I think even before he played, he was drafted. I think there were teams already stashing him already.
Good for you guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's hope that he continues, although I don't expect him to continue to be this good. Like I said, teams will probably plan for him already. But he obviously would be better than last year's Talen Horton-Tucker. Who else? Grayson Allen. The last of the trending down players. I mean, come on, we don't really expect Grayson Allen to be top 40, right? Or top 35. Obviously, he won't. Now that Middleton's back, Drew is back, Bobby Portis is starting. I mean, there are lots of weapons
there. There's Pat Connaughton.
Pat Connaughton has been coming off the bench.
But playing well.
Playing well, yes. That's why I don't think he's a drop yet at that point. I mean, many has dropped at Connaughton. Grayson Allen still a hold, right?
He's a hold. I mean, the time when we can probably say he's a drop already for sure is when Dante DiVincenzo will probably come back.
Yeah.
But we still don't know when that will happen. That's still a long ways away. He won't be that good though. He killed me in one of the leagues in 1 week. 20 points. 5-6-3s. That won't happen with Middleton and Holiday. That's common sense. You guys know that. So at that point, he was really a really, really, really sell high guy. And that's why, guys, these things in fantasy, it's just, you know, logic. When someone's hot because of somebody injured, you should be selling them. That's why right now, the only guy I could think of right now that's still probably very hot is Tyrese Maxey. And when the time comes, something trade happens, or, you know, Embiid comes back and then he's not as high anymore, you'll not be able to, the value won't be the same. The value won't be the same.
I mean, the value won't be the same. We all know the value would change and the value won't be the same, but the decrease or the lowering of the value or the fluctuation of the value would be too strong, right?
I mean,
Grayson Allen right now is top 35, 40. We don't expect him to be top 35 or 40. We hope he still gets into that top 100. But worst case scenario, he's going to fall out of that top 100. Right? Outside even top 120. So that's a big fall off from the start that he had, right? So that's the type of fall off that we don't want. That's why we recommend players to be sold high, right?
Yes.
Of course, it's easier said than done to sell them high, but usually
that's true.
These players are a package players, the kicker, as we call it.
Jordan Poole is another one. I mean, Clay is coming soon. So,
yep. So he's another guy who can, although I think I don't think the fall off of Poole is going to be that far off. Because he hasn't really been consistent. Right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
What you probably have now, and I think there's still a chance that he might be better. Like we were talking about him going up against second units, that might be better for him than him going against the first unit of the opposing teams, right? True. So I think the fall off won't be as high, unlike players like Grayson Allen. So
it's like saying, well, you suck. So when you suck more, I suck less.
You just won't. Yeah, you probably suck less.
Suck less. Yeah. Something like that. So, Grayson has been great. So the fall off is big.
Yeah. And similar to players like Carmelo, right? The fall off could be big. And
it's same big. With it's going to be big.
Similar to Kyle Kuzma, right? I think Dinwiddie's fall off might not be as big. Harrell's fall off. Well, Harrell
will be big.
Yeah, will be big, but could be borderline, you know, still ownable, unlike maybe a Carmelo or a Kuzma.
Yeah, that's true.
Might
that's
eventually true. Be just a streamer for many teams, right? So, yeah, those are trending down players. Who to buy? Let's talk about who to buy. Larry Nance. Yes, this is what we've been waiting for.
The good thing about buy players, when we're talking, since we're into the week 5 already, these players, some of them, they we keep on reiterating them. Some of them were in our drop. Now they're back to being a buy, like Larry Nance. Although Larry Nance was a drop, and then we recommended you guys to buy him a couple of days ago. This is like the third time we're saying this. But look at the trends. We talked to you about the rotation change that Chauncey Billups was saying, right? Yeah. We talked about that. And what happened was Larry Nance, ever since we said that, we talked about that, Larry Nance has closed the games of Portland each time.
Yeah.
And he has outplayed in minutes Yusuf Nurkic each time also. So the trends is there. You have to pick him up if you're in a 12-14. And they won today. And he was the reason they won. Chauncey called him the MVP of that game. So no reason for it not to be the case going forward that he's going to finish games, close out games.
I don't think there's any Larry Nance unless you're maybe in an 8-team league or a 10-team. I don't even think he's in a 10-team league. But there shouldn't be any Larry Nance. In case there are, you should pick him up. Danny Avdija, I streamed this guy in one game because I couldn't stream anyone. I think he had 13 rebounds?
11 rebounds. 11. 9 points, 11 points, rebounds. Yeah. He didn't shoot well, but again, the last time we talked to you about Danny Avdija, we were looking at the minutes and I said he's getting 27.
Yeah. I remember out for the guy.
Today he had 25, but he's still getting a lot of minutes. I mean, for a bench player, 25, 27, 28 or whatever, that's a lot. That's a lot for a bench player. So, I think in 14 team leagues, he can be added already. He is hot and he's playing better than Kuzma right now.
Yeah.
Playing better than Kuzma.
And in case he doesn't score, at least he'll give you some rebounds and a few
defensive stats.
That Kuzma probably won't give you. Huerter, man, I'm so frustrated I didn't start Huerter today because I thought he was going to be out. And he played well. I mean, we like we said, if he's given the minutes, he can produce.
To be fair, the 19 points and the 5 threes I think he got today was in the first half. He didn't do much in the second half, but he started very well. He was dropped in one of our leagues, a 14 team league. I used my waiver on him because if his hamstring is okay, he's healthy. 30 minutes today, 32 minutes. He is a 12-team guy. In my opinion, he's a 12-team guy. He'll be a 12-team guy.
Bogdanović also played well today. I think he had 4 threes or 5 threes.
But that's all he did. 12 points and 6 assists. Nothing else. But
that's better. than what he's done in the past, right?
Yeah, you could say that. You could say that. At least, you know, the good news is, with Bogdanović and Huerter, I guess their bad games won't be as bad anymore. They'll probably score in double figures here and there because Hunter is out.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the good news.
So yeah, Kevin Huerter is an ad. He probably was dropped in a lot of leagues because of the injury. So yeah, go pick him up. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, we mentioned this a few, I think last week, to watch out for him because he has started in some games, right? And he has continued to start.
Yes. Looks like the rotation is set. He's going to start. He's not starting at center. He's starting at power forward-ish center sometimes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't favor, it's, I guess, not part of the plans anymore. And they've decided to fast-track JRE's, you know, development. Mm-hmm. He is a 14-team league guy. And I'm kicking myself. In the same league I got Werther, I didn't know that JRE was still available. I should have, in our dynasty league, I should have picked him up. He's at least good for 7 to 8 rebounds.
Was he picked up?
Yes, just before I picked up Werther today at 3:00 p.m. today.
And so many injuries in that league. I don't know who. That's the problem with my team.
And you know, a lot of people have been asking about JRE. I said, look at the minutes. Look at his role. He has started 3 straight games. He has played 28 minutes in 3 straight games. If he gets those minutes, 7, 8 rebounds, 1.5 steals, 1.5 threes, that's doable. And for a guy you'll pick up in a 14-team league and in our dynasty league, that's a very deep league.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That's very good. Well, very good.
Yeah, that's a good pickup. Yeah, and he plays as well for one of the worst teams in the league. So, I mean, you would probably think that, you know, they're just gonna play the young guys right now. I mean, yeah, we're not surprised Favors is not playing as much or not playing at all, right?
They're winning. for some reason they're winning.
This also happened last year, right? I mean, they won, and that's not gonna be good for players like SGA, unless they really wanted to win. I mean, I've had some friends say that they won't tank as much this year. Let's see.
I mean, it's hard for them to be the worst team because of Houston and Detroit. Those two teams are really bad. Although Detroit is better, Houston, the team they beat today, is really bad.
Yeah.
They're really bad. And they don't even know what they're doing.
They didn't even play Sengun as much today.
Actually, they did. We talked about another rotation change. We talked about Portland. We talked about Houston. And they did it today. They started Daniel House.
Yeah.
They started Daniel House over Daniel Pace.
I think they started Gordon as well.
Well, KPJ is injured. So that's okay. I mean, well, KPJ is injured. They need Eric Gordon's the next man up.
Yep.
So
Eric Gordon, come on, Eric Gordon. I have some Eric Gordons out there.
He's also a bye player, one of our streamers. Yeah. Streamer, bye player, Eric Gordon. Without KPJ, I like him even more. He'll probably play point. He played point guard a while ago. So he got 5 assists today. So Eric Gordon is Eric a good guy. For the meantime.
Emmanuel, quickly.
Yes.
For New York.
Something's wrong with New York.
Well, they need a shake up and maybe.
Do you drop Evan Fournier? And Kemba?
Not yet.
Kemba.
I'm just glad I got rid of Kemba. But although the return I got was not a
Kyrie.
Kyrie. It's looking like he really won't play this year.
Do you drop?
No, I probably not. Not yet.
I dropped Fournier in a 12-team league already.
In a 14-team?
I'm holding him in the 14. I dropped him in the 12.
I don't have Kyrie Kemba and Fournier in a 12. Mostly in a 14. So
I just thought that, I mean, it's been what? 8 games? Fournier has been this bad. And he's not getting more minutes. And the stats he could give me, if he explodes, probably I could get in the waiver wire sometimes. There's lots of these kinds of players, shooters, scorers, inefficient players. So I just moved on. And Emmanuel quickly is one of the reasons why he's been playing very well. Outplaying Fournier every game. I don't know if Tibbs has the balls to make a switch, put quickly in the starting 5 or what. But I think it's coming if this continues. Kemba, close. Maybe well, next week.
Kemba has had some good games in between those bad games.
Oh, man. Man, I mean, even the good games are not that good.
Well, not the Kemba that you hope for. I mean, we expected that, but yeah.
Damn.
At least he's had some good games in between the bad ones. But the more annoying part of on Kemba is that the rest and the load management thing, that's more unpredictable, right? So yeah. Mm. I'm still holding. I just remembered I have one Kemba still. I'm probably gonna hold and wait to see what happens, unless there's really someone there that I'm not drop, yet as
drop,
annoyed.
Drop,
yeah.
drop.
I'm not yet as annoyed, but
because you only have one Kemba. I have a lot of Kembas. And that's
and that's me. The league we're in, Van drafted for us, and we thought that wow, Kemba, we fell to 80 something.
Yeah.
We thought that was a steal. It was the no good thing. It was a good thing that he was drafted at 80s. And now could be the wrong thing to do. Right. I would rather have Mike Conley now, even with the back to backs. Missing back to
oh yeah, for sure. Oh yeah.
Because they are the two players there that have been you know, in that range.
Yeah.
Wherein if you need a point guard in that range, he'll probably choose between Kemba and Conley. And
Dinwiddie.
Maybe Dinwiddie, but
I'd rather have Dinwiddie also.
Yeah, actually, yeah, of course. That's a more sure thing, I guess, in terms of the minutes and the playing time.
He plays more like this more often. We'll be talking about Killian Hayes or Kemba Walker. Soon, he'll be in that level already. We'll be there.
Yeah. Anyway, just quickly on the feel good, some feel good players. Let me see if we have time. Yeah, we have time. Mo Bamba. Let's talk about Mo Bamba. Solid top 30, top 25, I think. So this is one player that's been really, really good.
Top 25. He's top 25 this year. 11 points, 9 rebounds, 1 steal, 1.5 threes, 2.2 blocks. Those stats, actually, funny is like Jonathan Isaac's stats, don't you think? I mean,
right?
They're very similar except the threes, I think. He has more threes than Jonathan Isaac.
Yep.
But the rest...
Similar.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I think Isaac's steal rate are better.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mo Bamba's block rate are better than Isaac. But yeah, I think they're similar in terms of the stat set that they give you.
Yes.
And we have to keep our fingers crossed as well with Mo Bamba.
Well, he's not a healthy... I mean, he's a very injury-prone player.
Very but... Jonathan Isaac-like.
Yes, but I guess people are afraid of Isaac's return, and I'm not that afraid. I think Isaac will come off the bench, maybe play 20-25 minutes for a long time before they'll make a switch. Bamba has been playing very well. You don't just do that, just put him on the bench if he's playing that well. So just continue plugging him along. He's going to be a top, I can't say top 30. I don't think he will sustain it. I think top 40. Top 40 is doable. He is better than Boucher for sure. Last year.
Yeah, come on. Boucher has been there just because he has a very the blocks are really good.
Yeah.
And that's why some players are, you know, up there in the ranks because of the blocks. But Bamba gives you more rebounds, more consistent, right? He's more consistent. And for a guy who shoots threes, he's not bad in percentages. So I think he is, you know, definitely better. Hopefully he stays top 40 or top 50 at the least, right? Top 50 is good. I mean, I drafted him, what, 100? 110, right? He's in that range. Outside 100.
I'll be shocked if he falls to top 50. I think he should be safe in the top 30, 40.
Yeah.
Around 30-something.
Yeah.
With that block rate, that three-pointers and those steals.
He is actually one player wherein I was... really surprised that fell really low in the draft. I mean,
come to think of it,
we've talked about players who are drafted high because of their second half surge, players like Michael Porter Jr., right? I mean, there are players like that. Yeah. Like they really got a boost because of their second half surge last year. I think Mo Bamba had a second half surge that no one really talked about. I mean, Miles Bridges was another one, right? Although he really surged. But I mean, we've talked about these players, but I think Bamba is another player who had a good second half last year that was
Yahoo dropped the ball on that one. He was at 110, 111 the whole time, the whole draft process. He was there, and you could see it. Jeremy is correct. Last year he had a surge when Vucevic was traded, and they didn't have. Well, Wendell Carter is there.
He came off the bench there, though. He came off the bench last year, and I think that hurt his value a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, we've seen this year some teams getting some unorthodox lineups out there, and they've been very good fantasy-wise. I mean, you talk about Cleveland, who has that three-headed center. All of them are, you know, have been quite good. And now we have, who would have thought, right? Wendell Carter Jr. and Bamba starting together side by side. And both of them have been good.
Yes, both of them have been good.
And all this time we thought that, probably the only one would be good among between the two. Same thing with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, we didn't expect Mobley to be as good because he might not start early, but he did. Right, so these unorthodox lineup is helping us fantasy wise, and we never really imagined it to be that way, right? So yeah, Mo Bamba, feel good player. Last of our feel good player, let's talk about the GOAT, Alex Caruso. Caruso, though, is a more surprising player because we know he's the hustle guy. Right? But we never really thought that he'll give out some stats.
I was high on Caruso. I don't know why. And we were talking about it in the draft process that, hey, don't forget him. He's at rank 200-something, 300-something. Switch him.
And at times, I have to admit, I forget him because he's so low.
And I go back to what Eric Ong said, you know, sometimes the motivation of the players, what they want to do. Like he talked about, I forgot who he talked about. Jason Tate, I think, he said that Jason Tate in Houston will be doing everything Houston wants him to do because I think Caruso is the same thing. After what the Lakers did to him, the Bulls gave him a contract that good. It means that the Bulls believed in him. And you can see him, he really wants to play and prove himself that, you know, this is the player you pass
Caruso,
on.
Caruso right? really wanted to play with the Lakers. He said that. He really wanted to stay.
Yes.
But the difference is just too far. I mean, he wouldn't mind taking less with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the offer was way less than what the Bulls offered. Yeah. So he was willing to play with the Lakers. He was willing to play with less money just to stay with the Lakers. But yeah, the Lakers just didn't make that move.
And that's a big thing. Players, that's very big with players. So that's why I was high on him. I should say I did not expect him to be this good. This is really good. Like today, almost a triple-double. Although he won't be this good all the time.
He started well. Right?
He's starting
now. Second
now.
Game he started. I think this is the third game.
Third game he's starting. He started when Kobe White returned. So as I was saying, I think they were maybe planning on Kobe White being the sixth man, but it doesn't seem to be related. I think Kobe White has been terrible, and I don't think he has anything to do with it. They just probably want more rebounding because they don't have Vucevic. It's possible.
Yeah, possible. My take on Caruso was, you know, I know he's going to be the good hustle guy, but I never imagined it would translate to stats. You know, he's going to be like the PJ Tucker, the guys that can hustle and defend, but not really show up in stats. Like, I mean, PJ Tucker has been on and off, right? He can give you 10 rebounds in one night and then zero in another night. I think initially that was my impression of Alex Caruso. But when I saw his stat line during the summer games, and we talked about the depth chart, the preseason, and then we talked about the depth chart, that's where I saw that he has this potential to be, you know, the only guy who's going to be relevant in that bench of Chicago.
Yes, that's
and
true.
He has been. And the steals, the steal rate, that's the best part in his game. I think he's still top in steals.
He's not top. Chris Paul is top in steals. Mm-hmm. But he's among the leaders. The leaders.
Yep. And if he continues to give these types, I mean, not these types of numbers, but, you know, 5-6 rebounds maybe a game, or if he can average 10.6 rebounds and maybe a couple of steals, that's solid for your last pick. I'm pretty sure Alex Caruso was probably the last pick or just a pick of the waiver. That's how neglected he was in fantasy drafts. Mm-hmm. That's how we end our daily fantasy quickie today, by not neglecting Alex Caruso. So if you have him, congratulations. I'm not sure if he's a seller. You could sell him. But I think what he gives now is really what you're going to get.
Yes. I think
so. I mean, not today, right? Not today. Today was, you know, extraordinary. Like, these are triple-double type numbers. I don't think he's going to get there. The like I said, the 5 rebounds maybe, or 10 points and maybe 2 steals a game, that's solid numbers already. Right?
So that's true.
So yeah, that's it for Daily Fantasy Quickie today. Tomorrow, I think we have fewer games tomorrow.
Three games, I think. Three or five, I'm not sure. Something like that.
Yeah, so I think there are less games tomorrow. Hopefully some great performances as well. We didn't even talk about Jimmy Butler coming back, but I'm maybe tomorrow we can talk about Bam Adebayo and Kyle Lowry missing today's game. I don't know if they're going to play tomorrow, but maybe we can talk more about those two players, because I'm kind of worried about the missing games of Kyle Lowry and Bam Adebayo. So I'll probably save that for tomorrow, because they have a game as well tomorrow. So yeah, that's it for Daily Fantasy Quickie, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Bye, guys.
Bye.